evening, everyone. Tonight's reading is Hebrews 10, 19 to 25, which you'll find on page 1208. 1208. Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Thank you, Chris. As Shaq said earlier, this is an interlude during our series in James, and we're going to be considering how we can make the most of our Sunday fellowship. To help us, we've picked a particular passage in Hebrews that I think is really going to be helpful. Now, I'm sure many of you are going to be disappointed we're not doing a whole series in Hebrews, because I've read the whole thing several times to help me unpack this topic for us. And I've just loved it. And so much so, if you're just at the point of thinking about what to read next in the Bible, may I commend Hebrews to you? The one thing I realised when I'd finished reading it is the author of this book loves Jesus Christ. It's not a bad thing, right? In fact, I think that should be how we all feel. We should all love Jesus, shouldn't we? Now, I think that is the point the author of Hebrews is making. We should all feel just that, love Jesus. But then he knew that that Hebrew community that the letter was originally written to, well, they did once feel like that, but their love was dwindling. Now, I can't suggest that that was the case for every member of that community, but it must have been enough for him to have written this letter. And whilst we're on the matter, we don't actually know who wrote this letter. Some say Paul. Many say it doesn't really follow a Paul-type letter. Some say Barnabas, some say Apollos. And I've even read one commentator who thought this was actually a sermon, some sermon notes. But we don't know. But what we do know is it's in the Bible, it's God-breathed, and it's good for us. But back to this letter. And overall, I would say that the letter to Hebrews is an encouragement. And I hope and I pray that this is an encouragement to us tonight. Its author's desire is for us to remember how much we ought to love Jesus Christ. So he wrote the letter to remind the Hebrew community that Jesus is better. In the first 9 chapters, the author sets out that Jesus is a better hope, he's a better promise, he's a better possession, a better country, a better sacrifice, and a better covenant. Now, many of our hopes and dreams just dwindle or fade away, don't they? Agreements and promises made are often forgotten or broken. Our possessions break, they get taken from us or become worthless. And the country that we love changes, it turns sour, can turn into a war zone, literally or actually. Our physical, worldly and earthly possessions, hopes and dreams can just turn into nothing. But not so with Jesus, for Jesus is better than anything else, both for the Hebrew and for us. And the writer is saying, don't go back to your old ways, worldly ways that just don't have Jesus in them. Stick with Jesus. And as much as the author wrote that for a particular community, I think there is much for us to consider. We can too easily be distracted by worldly issues, treasures and trinkets. We can fall back into old ways and forget about meeting as a body of believers. And so I think this passage will be really helpful for us to think through and see what it has to say to us here tonight. And in summary, we shall think about how awesome Jesus is, which is pretty easy, I think. Then we shall look at three lettuces. I think the next slide brings it up. Three lettuces and a dollop of Philadelphia. And then we're going to finally consider how this can possibly help us make the most out of our Sunday fellowship. That first one is not a Brussels sprout. It is a lettuce. I double checked. But before we go further, let us pray. Father God, as ever, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come into us and help us and allow us to really hear what you've got to say to us tonight. Let us hear this encouragement for what it's meant to be, uplifting and encouraging. Amen. So, slide two, how awesome is Jesus? We're going to look at the first three verses particularly. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Right. First off, those of you that have been around Bansley for a while know we have a bit of a saying here, and that is, if there is a therefore there, we need to figure out what the there is there for. Do you get it? If there is a therefore there, we need to figure out why there is a there for. So, as I've already alluded to, the preceding nine chapters are emphatic in telling the reader how awesome Jesus is. Go and read them. They're amazing. And that is what the therefore is there for. It's because of how awesome Jesus is that we can read the rest of this passage. It's what his priestly work has achieved. Access to God granted to us through Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. That is, 100% of your sin is paid for you if you believe in him. The Hebrews knew that you could not approach God directly. The Old Testament sacrifices and priestly systems got taught that way. There were several barriers between them and God, but the writer has been showing them how Christ's work is better. And by faith, has allowed them real access to God here and now. Because of his priestly work, our sins have been fully paid for and put away by God. And so we can now come into his presence without fear of being smited. I love that word. Smited by his holiness. So it's the sufficient sacrifice of Christ and his priestly work that gives us confidence to approach God. But before we can move on, we have another couple of words I quickly need to clarify around who is us, brothers and sisters. Now, this isn't talking about your literal brother or sister. This letter wasn't written to the author's actual brother or sister. It's referring to fellow Christians, those that share faith in Jesus Christ. It is one of the many signals around who us is, us being part of God's family. We shall pick up on some more of this a little bit later. But that doesn't mean that you should switch off if you don't think you're a brother or sister. Okay, there is plenty in here for you to pick up on, so stay tuned. Right, back to Jesus. The author of Hebrews goes to lengths to remind that community that Jesus is superior to every possible thing they could put in its place. So for them, it's like angels, prophets, Moses, high priests, and sacrifices. Jesus is the better shepherd, a better teacher, a better pastor, a better friend. The list goes on. And because Jesus is more superior, we, if we are a brother or a sister, we can have confidence that we are able to enter the most holy place. Now, brothers and sisters, it's because of Jesus' blood. Because he loved you so much that he gave himself to the cross. If you call yourself a brother or sister, and you believe that he did indeed die on that cross for you, to cleanse you of your sins, then you can have confidence to enter the most holy place, God's presence in heaven. The curtain that used to separate the holy place from the most holy place is torn in two. What in the Old Testament was previously reserved for only the high priest and only once a year, we can now enter. because of Jesus' blood. We now have the greatest high priest, Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on the cross was the better sacrifice, better than anything before. Hebrews also reminds us that Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. God's promise that he will be our God, we shall be his people. Now, there was a similar covenant in the Old Testament, but this is much better. That old promise needed continuous sacrifices offered by priests that were prone to the same sins as you and I. Jesus' sacrifice was once for all of our sins, performed by a sinless Saviour. Jesus is our new covenant's guarantor, as well as its mediator. He is so much better than anything else around. And that is why that first word in chapter 10, verse 19, is therefore, because he is better. Right, it won't take me that long to get through every other word. Do not panic. But now we know why there is a therefore there, and you've remembered your confidence, I hope you have, in the greatest high priest, Jesus, and that it's sufficient. And it's the sacrifice of Christ, that it's sufficient. And his priestly work that gives us confidence to approach God, the following three let us statements flow from that. So let us consider what else this passage has to say and look at the first lettuce. I think you've got it now, right? We're not actually talking about lettuces. Right, lettuce one. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. First off, let us. These are group commands. This is us, not I. This isn't just talking to that Hebrew community, or just one or two of us here and now, or perhaps a couple of us. But I take it as all of us, as a group or a community, for all time, which is why you're going to hear the word let us many, many times tonight. So back to these words, which are saying that because Jesus is greater than anything else, did I make that clear earlier? Do I need to go over it again? Good. So because he has paid the sacrifice, then we can draw near to God because we have been cleansed. We need not make further sacrifices. Because of that, we can draw near to God with a sincere heart. We can go to him without fear. Practically, that means we can approach God in prayer, both individually, but just as importantly, together. As we meet together, we can approach God in prayer, confident that he will receive us, he will hear us, and he will answer us. So let us prioritize those moments, those opportunities that we have to pray together. Yes, it's important that we do pray on our own, but it's equally important that we pray together, whether that's on a Thursday, the first Thursday of the month, whether it's on a Saturday morning, this Saturday, or before each service, we gather and we pray. But we can also have full assurance that our faith gives us. Now, brothers and sisters, I know every now and then we can have our doubts, our fears, and our wobbles. We can start to forget we have a wonderful Saviour. And we all do it, some of us more than others. But let us be assured. This passage tells us that our faith brings us assurance. Let us not ignore that or forget it. Our hearts have been cleansed. We can be guilt-free. Now, there is always some sort of effect of our actions, and sometimes our sins may impact others, and we shall feel guilty about that. But remember that Jeremiah passage, it's just, if you look back at your Bibles, where we were reading this passage, just look up a little bit to verse 17. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Brothers and sisters, let us remember, we have been washed with pure water. How absolutely wonderful. Which leads us on to our next lettuce. Let us. So, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We can stay faithful because he is faithful. God keeps his promises so we can remain unswerving. Let us consider what may help us stick with Jesus, perhaps remembering that he is better than anything else, the first 5-10 minutes of this sermon, that alternatives are short-lived and fruitless, and that our corporate gathering is where we hear the public, where we hear the gospel publicly taught. And that can help us from swerving. But also, the hope we profess is quite literally our confession, another way of putting the gospel. And it carries with it the sense of publicly speaking out. That is, it's not merely what we believe, but what we publicly declare we believe when we gather together here. There would have been a temptation for those Hebrews to abandon the gospel and return to Judaism. It would have been, life would have been so much easier for them on earth. They'd have had far less grief. But they need to continue to gather together. And that's what the writer's saying. Publicly, stick with Jesus and the gospel. Otherwise, they just abandon Christ in the end. But how can we hold unswervingly? What can help us in that? Perhaps maintaining our regular attendance on a Sunday. Perhaps attending both services. How's that reading plan going? Are you holding unswervingly to it? Are you making the most of your smaller local group? Are you a member of a smaller local group? If not, speak to Andrew. Do you regularly meet with a brother or sister in a one-to-one? If not, consider doing so. And if you do, do you just do small talk? Or do you actually get the word out? Do you actually read God's word? Do you actually share your woes and your fears? Do you pray earnestly with one another? There are plenty of things around us to help us hold unswervingly. But the most important thing is remembering that he keeps his promises. And so our third lettuce. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We should spur one another on. Let us do that. Let us build one another up, not tear each other down. Let us consider that our brothers and sisters' motives were indeed for good and that they had somebody's best interests at heart. Let us spur on towards love and good deeds. Let us be enthusiastic about each other's suggestions and perhaps sorrowful at missed missions, ministries and missed opportunities. Let's think about this a little. Why did you come to church tonight? Now, there are lots of good reasons, right? We already heard a couple, to pray together and to listen to and declare the gospel together and sing and worship together. But do you ever think about, as you walk out the door, do you ever think about, who can I pray for? Or perhaps you can think, who can I spur on to love and good deeds tonight? Or you could pray, Father, give me somebody that needs encouraging tonight. What can I say to them? Now, I'll admit, there have been times when I've walked into church and I've probably been too busy, things on my mind, people I need to speak to, and I've probably just spotted somebody out of the corner of my eye, maybe hiding a tear, maybe just sitting alone and sad. It's so easy for us to think, hopefully somebody else will go and talk to them, or I'm sure they'll be all right, or even the classic, I'll pray for them later, and then I carry on my way. I need to repent of that. Those times, I should be more encouraging. I should be more interested. I should be more caring. It's just too easy for us to carry on doing what we want to do. And what about those words, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit? Let's keep reminding one another that we need Jesus, that we need to read his word, that we need to keep meeting together. So let us keep on encouraging one another. There's been a lot of talk about brothers and sisters, about meeting with one another, about building each other up and spurring each other on. This is where we need a dollop of Philadelphia. That's the next slide. I think it says in the... Oh, no, he didn't put it in there. I think he was going to put in, there are other alternatives of soft cheese. I'm not recommending Philadelphia particularly, but it's the word Philadelphia that we're going to come to. Now, later in chapter 13, you can turn over if you want, just a couple of pages back. At verse 1, it says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. The King James Version and the English Standard Version says, let brotherly love continue. This is a big statement for how and why we look out for those around us and not just for ourselves. It's the concept of brotherly love. That Greek word, philadelphia, combines two words, philo, meaning love, and adelphos, meaning brother. The essence of this is why we should love, because we are like brothers and sisters to one another, being part of a big, loving family, an eternal family. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters. We believers are linked together because of Christ and his sacrifice for each one of us. We have a bond that is even stronger and tighter than any biological bond. Don't turn there, but Matthew 12, Jesus is teaching in a crowded room, and someone comes in with the news that his brothers and sisters, his brother and mother are outside wanting to talk to him. Jesus replies, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he goes on, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. He makes it clear that being spiritually related is more important than being biologically related. Now that may be quite shocking in the world, particularly where culturally family means so much, but not so when we are talking about God's family. That word, philadelphia, brotherly love, highlights the reality that the first step in being loving is to love those in your spiritual family. Jesus said in John 13, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He did not say, if you love everybody in the world, the mark of a disciple is loving your spiritual siblings. Now that clearly, that does not mean that we do not love unbelievers, but may I suggest that we could be the most loving to them by pointing them to Jesus. So verse 23 talks about the hope that we profess. Now, if you do indeed profess your faith, make it clear that you believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins and rise again 3 days later, then we should be willing to speak to those around us of that faith. Perhaps you will be blessed to see a change in that person's life. May I ask that you pray and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and give you the words and courage needed to speak openly about your faith. So we've considered how awesome our God is, how Jesus is the better everything. We've considered how we should have confidence in our faith and in our Jesus. We've considered how we should spur one another on. But how does all that help us make the most of our Sunday gatherings? I've got a couple of dozen lettuces coming up. Let us remember that we are all weak and sinful. None of us are perfect. Let us remember that we all need Jesus. Let us give at least a drop, a modicum of the grace that the Lord gave us. Let us give that to other people. Let us look beyond people like ourselves. Let us not hold to our normal group, the normal ones that we chat with and we greet. Let us look out to speak and love others that we don't normally speak to. Let us let the Lord work in us and through us to grow us as a body of believers. Let us remember that regardless of age, cultural background, education, we should treat all brothers and sisters as just that, as if they were our brothers and sister. Let us remember we need to gather because we need to pray together, we need to hear and confess the gospel together, and we need to encourage one another to live out this Christian life. Isn't it interesting how meeting together becomes a habit? But worse so, that not meeting together can become a habit. I've got something else on this week. I was a bit tired today. I'll have a bit of a hassle to get out today. I'll have a listen to it later online. Those one-off excuses, they become occasional ones. Those occasional ones become frequent ones. And before we know it, the habit is not attending church regularly. Our habit is not to be at church. Let us not be like that. And let us seek those that have drifted off. Let's encourage them to come back. And if you don't think yourself as a brother and sister, can I plead with you to stop ignoring the promises that God makes and the warnings? Speak with me or somebody else that you know that's here that is a believer, and they'll be able to tell you about these wonderful promises and warnings. Or if you think you might be a brother or sister, but you're not sure, again, speak with somebody you know. So, as we come to church on Sundays, let us pray for those involved. Let us greet warmly all people. Let us sit next to folk we don't normally sit next to. Let us worship joyfully. Let us pray earnestly. Let us be eager to listen to the gospel. Let us speak to someone you haven't before or for a while. Let us ask questions of one another about what we have heard. Let us encourage those that have been involved in the service. Let us be willing to clear up after the service or set up for the next service. Jesus is our better everything. So hold on to him. Keep remembering to look to him and love your brothers and sisters as he first loved us. I found reading of Hebrews such an encouragement. And I hope that what I had to say tonight is an encouragement to you also. It's not meant to be more than that. It's not meant to be somebody banging the lectern. It's an encouragement. It's a loving encouragement. Remember who Jesus is. Hold on to him. He is the best. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is just so packed with wonderful encouragements. We pray that the Holy Spirit does indeed work through us, that he encourages us. He allows us to be truly loving to one another. Father, I pray for those that do not think of themselves as brothers and sisters, that they will heed the warnings and they will want to turn to you. Father, bless us all with knowing that somebody perhaps will want to turn to you, maybe tonight. Father, encourage that person to do so. Encourage them to reach out to one of their friends or a believer here tonight. Bless us with that, but bless us as we continue our evening, as we come to the table, as we continue our worship. Bless us tonight, I pray. Amen.